The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, while the world's attention is on the conflict between Iran and the United States, the war in Sudan has seen 12 million people forced to leave their homes while famine and brutal warfare take hold in at least two vast regions in the country. I'm joined in the studio now by Berke Hertz-Brucke, who's head of portfolio for fragile and conflict-affected states with TROCRA. And Berke is just back from Sudan. You're very welcome. Thank you for being here. And you were telling me that you previously worked in Sudan in 2004, and people might remember at that time in Darfur, there was a devastating conflict, and here we are back again. What did you see this time?
Yeah, so thank you very much, Claire. So I just recently got back from the Nuba Mountains, which is in South Kordofan, where TROCRA is supporting partners and communities with life-saving food, healthcare and livelihoods. What struck me was the tremendous trauma and the sheer exhaustion of the people that I saw in the camps. So I met with a lot of women that needed to flee their villages, their towns, who walked for days on end to reach the safe haven in the Nuba Mountains. They needed to travel with young ones, with the elderlies, did not have any food or water along the way. So after four days by foot, they made it to the camps. And it was just horrifying to see in the stories that they were telling in terms of rape that they have experienced, sexual assault. They lost loved ones on the way because they were too weak to continue the walk into the camps. And what struck with me was they said, "This is not our war." But still, yet they were in those camps, they were supporting each other, they were looking after each other, they were trying to make sense of their lives and trying to pick up the pieces and trying to get some normality and dignity back into their lives.
You describe it as a systematic unravelling of a society, a country being torn apart.
That is correct. What we're seeing currently is a fragmentation of the country. We see that the two warring parties, the Rapid Support Forces and the Sudanese Armed Forces, the SAF, are dividing the country and are tearing apart the country. The war is currently entrenching. We see that the front lines have shifted from Darfur. We heard the stories about El Fasher. And the war is shifting towards the greater Kordofan region where TROCRA is working. This all comes at the expense of civilian populations. We've got 33 million that are currently in need of humanitarian assistance, 12 million that have been displaced across the borders, but also within Sudan. This is really, really devastating. We've got more than 65% of the population that is currently in need of food, and we are seeing famine spreading more and more.
Mm-hmm. So these families that you met who had left their homes, can you describe to us what they are fleeing?
They are fleeing active fighting. They are fleeing from drones that are being used more and more often, drones that you can't see, that you don't hear, that just indiscriminately target civilian infrastructure like health facilities. People are fleeing, are trying to flee besieged towns like El Fasher, like Kadugli, like Dilling, where food does not reach the population anymore, where food is actively blocked from entering these cities. People are just fleeing just to save their lives. Mm-hmm. Some need to stay behind. Some are being killed along the way. But just everyone is just trying to flee from the conflict.
So there's drone warfare happening, but also troops and rebels coming into those villages and towns. And you mentioned rape there, and we know it has been well documented that rape is a weapon of war in Sudan, of course, in other places as well, but in particular in Sudan.
That is correct. And now we see more and more of these reports coming out because women are coming forward. Women are seeking services in the healthcare facilities. Rape as well as starvation is being used by all parties of the conflict as a weapon of war. This is happening now, and this happened 20 years ago in Darfur already.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the international community. So we'll talk about the response in a moment, but there are international actors becoming involved in this conflict, aren't there?
So Sudan is not just a civil war. Sudan is being is a war that is being directed from external factors and actors, regional as well as international actors. You have countries like Saudi Arabia, like the United Arab Emirates, like Egypt, Turkey, who are supporting the various factions of the warring parties with arms, with intelligence. This is creating the current war that we have, and this is prolonging the war that we are seeing in Sudan at the moment.
What is their interest in getting involved?
So it's mainly strategic. It's from a geopolitical perspective, security concerns. It is about getting oil and getting the gold from Sudan and using Sudan as a proxy war for their own political interests. Mm-hmm.
So we live in a time where international aid budgets in the United States, but in other countries as well, in France, in Germany, in Canada, have been cut back. Are you seeing the impact of those reductions in spending on international aid now in Sudan?
Yes, we do see this. And the reduction of the ODA, the Official Development Assistance, has a dramatic impact on our humanitarian as well as development programs. Last year, we have seen a huge reduction of over 23% in the ODA. This trend is going to continue. The humanitarian needs in Sudan as well as in other crises are exceeding what is actually available in terms of funding. So the humanitarian funding for Sudan is nowhere near sufficient to respond to the current crisis.
Mm-hmm. So when these people, after 4 days of walking, manage to get to the camps, what are they finding there?
They are both international humanitarian agencies such as TROCRA, but there are also a lot of local organizations that TROCRA is supporting that are providing first response to people who are arriving after days of walking into these camps. This is food assistance. They're getting the basic necessities. They are getting what is required to survive for the next few weeks, but this is still too little, right? We are seeing the impact of less and less funding, and we are required to do less work with less funding. We support local partners because they will be there for the longer term. They will be there to support the communities, and not just with humanitarian assistance, but with more resilience work, with rebuilding their lives and provision of livelihoods and long-term opportunities.
Mm-hmm. But there is very clear evidence, is there, of famine?
Famine has been declared in El Fasha. Famine has been declared in the Greater Kordofan regions. The impact of the current war in the Middle East and the war with Iran will have an even greater impact on the food security situation. So even if the war ends today, the damage to the food security situation, the damage to the livelihoods, that's been done, and it will take years to stabilize again. So the food security situation and the famine that we are seeing already on the rise again and again has started now, and it's going to last for the years to come.
Do you feel it's fair to call it the forgotten war? Do you think that the world is distracted?
The world is definitely distracted, right? Sudan has competing for attention since the war started in 2023. So first we had Ukraine, we have Gaza. I think the world is saturated by all of these major crises that we're seeing in the news. We are also seeing the impact of the war in the Middle East, the war with Iran, having an impact on domestic economies like Ireland. Like, we're seeing the fuel prices, we're seeing the inflation. So we are very much concerned with our own lives and the impact that we see here. Sudan is forgotten not because it's a small crisis, but because there are so many other competing priorities. And Sudan is very far from home, right? And I think the world has become a little bit indifferent to what is happening in that country.
Are there efforts to reach some sort of a peace? Is that happening on any level?
It rather looks bleak. I think if you were asked me what's the comparison to 20 years ago to what happened in Darfur in the early 2000s? We had greater chances of reaching peace at that time than it is now. There is not enough international pressure on those external actors like Saudi Arabia, like the UAE, like Egypt, Turkey, yes, and all of those players to actually come around and the table and to exercise pressure on the warring parties inside Sudan, the SAF and the RSF. We have seen less interest and less pressure. So, and the warring parties in Sudan, they are not interested in achieving any political compromise. The war is not going anywhere because none of the parties are decisively going to win the war with political means and with military means.
Well, thank you very much for telling us about it and about your recent visit. Berke Hertzbrugge there from Troika. And Troika, of course, continue to work both the organisation itself and also with local partners in Sudan. And I am sure we'll be very grateful for any help for the Sudanese people, 12 million of whom have been forced to leave their homes. Thank you very much for being with us, Berke.
Thank you, Clive.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.